Welcome to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. My name is Myrnie Young, certified professional coach, author, and your host. Each week, I bring you an inspiring guest or a solo coaching message from me to help you live your best lives now by transforming your mindset. Thanks for tuning in today, and I hope that this segment meets you at your point of need. Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrnie Young, and today we start a new series with the author of The Millennial Playbook, Ms. Erica L. Pierce. Now, Erica is going to be starting off our discussion today, unpacking how limiting beliefs can destroy your self-confidence. So welcome, Erica.
Hi, thank you so much, Myrna. Happy to be here.
Awesome. I am going to enjoy our conversation. I am the mother of a millennial, so and thank you so much for sending me a copy of your book. It is an awesome book, and I plan to share it when I'm done with it.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, before we get started with our show today, I am excited to announce a new contest that I am going to be running for the next 4 weeks. In exchange for your iTunes review of the Mindset Transformation radio show and podcast, you will have the opportunity to win a VIP annual subscription to Mixamore, the newest, hottest dating app as seen on Shark Tank. This one-year free membership includes video instant messenger, hot list, chat advantages, and no advertisements. That, I am sure, is going to make someone happy because I know I hate to have them pop up every 5 minutes when I'm trying to listen to something on YouTube. Anyway, those are just a few of the things that your membership will include. And as I mentioned before, we are going to have one winner per week of this VIP membership for the next 4 weeks. So get your entries in. And to enter, all you need to do is post your review to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna podcast on iTunes, and then email me at info@myhelps.us with the subject line podcast review, and you will be entered to win a VIP annual subscription to, as I mentioned before, the Mixamore dating app. This membership is valued at $79. And I love it because we are targeting this broadcast to millennials, and millennials love apps. I think that the word app was created for the younger generation. I remember there is this new app, Vimeo, that you send money to. And my daughter was very impressed that I had this app. She says, "Mom, you know about that?" Yes, because, yeah, so hey, and I'm cool too. All right.
And you have to be able to send your kids money, of course.
That's right, exactly, right? Yes. So she was quite impressed that I had this app. So anyway, but, you know, let me make another plug. I only knew of this app because I listen to podcasts. And I know in your book, Erica, you talk about podcasts and you actually plug podcasts. But yeah. I listen to podcasts, and I was listening to a Tony Robbins podcast, and he brought on the founder of this. And I went, and I've never heard of it before. I only knew about PayPal. So, yeah, you know, learning is important. You learn from all different sources.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yep, awesome. All right, well, let me tell you a little bit more of my guest today. Ms. Erica Pierce is a generational strategist, an attorney, author of a millennial coach, and speaker. And, again, I'm learning because she introduced me to this new term, exennial. So, you know, of course, you know, Erica is going to expand on that. But Erica has a unique perspective and has developed strategies and techniques to bridge millennials to generations before and after them. So welcome again, Erica. And I normally start off the show by asking my guests to tell me their journey from, you know, to where they are today, you know, and yours is, I'm very curious because you, you know, you have, you know, different genres, you know, an attorney, a generational strategist, which is to me is a coach, and an author. So tell me, how did you come about to embark on this journey, and how did you get to where you are today?
Sure. Well, first, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited about our discussion today. And, yes, I mean, it has been a journey, but, you know, I think really my path professionally and also personally has been a testament of just something I believe in, which is to always evolve and to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. So I've, you know, sort of dipped my toe in a couple of different areas, and I just see where it goes. And so in terms of how I went from being an attorney to now focused on bridging generations and coaching millennials, really it goes back to the term that you used before, exennial, which it's a real term. I didn't make it up. I get asked that all the time. You know, if you read certain articles and such, even in places like New York Times, they use the term exennial. And what that means is that I am the micro generation between Generation X and millennial. So I was born in March 1980. And millennials, you know, the years vary a little bit in terms of the source that's defining millennials, but usually they're born between 1981 and 1996. And so I'm sort of in this in-between place where I remember life without, you know, technology being in your hand and having the internet, you know.
And apps, right?
Yeah, and apps. Yeah, exactly. I remember way before any apps and such. But also, I'm still, you know, on the younger side enough where I now live a life where I am very dependent on apps. And, you know, I mean, I download apps from the App Store on a weekly basis. I run my life, you know, using a lot
using
of
apps.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Technology. I have everything delivered. I don't know why anyone would, you know, even go to the grocery store or mall anymore. So,
wow. Nice.
Yeah.
So you are a user. Okay.
Yes. So I understand both sides of the perspective, and I think that naturally just made me, a bridge in my professional life. I mean, even when I worked, as an attorney and in other sort of consulting work that I did, I was the one that was always trying to help that younger generation, even though I wasn't that far from them or not too much older, but still coaching them through some of the things that I had learned through my journey and that I had learned from older generations that they didn't necessarily, you know, want to hear from. And so I just naturally became that bridge, and I started to do some informal coaching, you know, and doing some informal speaking about, you know, the bridge of generations and how we can work together and better understand each other. And that's sort of where this, new career focus has brought me in terms of really focusing on the, you know, strategizing so that the four generations that are now working together in the workplace can really, you know, get along, you know, if you just to be quite honest, as well as making sure the millennial generation is better understood, that they're more successful, and that, you know, they don't necessarily live up to the bad rap that they get, you know, in the media and from other folks. So helping them to sort of break out of that millennial negative brand.
Yeah, okay. Well, I understand. Well, I love the fact that you, you know, and you must be an Xennial because not too many women tell their age, and you must be young enough.
Yes, yes. Well, that's a good example. You're right about that.
You're right, yeah.
Not too many
people.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. You still love it. Right. So that's awesome. Well, like I said, I've never heard of that before, but I always thought that was actually the millennials started, but you're saying that they started in 1991, right? So, that is awesome. Well, that is a great journey, and I love the fact that you see yourself as a bridge, and you started your career, you know, helping bridge the generations. So what is the generation before the Xennials? That's not the baby boomers, or is it?
No, that's Generation X is before.
No, so Generation X is the younger ones. I mean older.
The older, yes, yes. Y comes after X. I'm sorry, after millennial.
Okay, all right, okay, all right. The Y, okay, Generation Y, okay, awesome. So yeah, we've got, you know, and you know, my sister, my mom is 80 years old. And she has a phone, and she just barely uses it. She doesn't understand how to do voicemail. And my sister said she texted her yesterday for the first time. I'm thinking, wow. So.
And that's funny because my grandmother is 85, and I call her a millennial because she is a master texter. She uses emojis.
You are kidding me.
Yes, yes. When I'm visiting her at
dinner.
Well,
that's because she has you to help her.
Yes. I'm bridging her. I'm bridging the generation.
And that is awesome. So that is good. Awesome. All right. We're off to a great start, and you're doing good work. Because, yes, each generation has their little quirks and the things that they do, and bridging them is really good. And I love what you ended up saying, that four generations are in the workplace. And, I'm pretty sure that management, can benefit from reading some of the information in your book so that they can know how to talk to at least one of their generations. So,
yeah.
Awesome. All right. So what do you feel are some of the limiting mindsets that millennials have? Now, if I turn to your book on page 15, you say that millennials are described as entitled, impatient, tech-obsessed, pampered, self-absorbed, and lazy. So that's how people feel about them. How do they feel about themselves, you know, according to your research? And how does that affect, you know, some of the limited mindsets that they have?
Sure. So that's a great question. And honestly, I think it's a question that I wish more people would ask, because I feel like there's lots of people that are talking about what they think millennials are like, and not as many people asking, you know, what do millennials, you know, how do they view themselves?
Yeah.
So I'll say this, I think that millennials most of them don't view themselves as any of these of these adjectives that you just listed. None of these are very positive. But I do think that, you know, they have a mindset that's just backed by parts of their upbringing. So, for example, millennials are definitely part of that everyone gets a trophy, you know, generation. And so because of that, they definitely have a mindset that where everyone is equal. And I think for in many ways that can be limiting, especially as they transition into adults and transition into their careers and into the workplace. And the reason why I say that is because I think, you know, millennials oftentimes, again, they get that, you know, they're entitled. They feel entitled. They feel on their first day of work they can be the boss, even though that they, you know, they have zero work experience, that everyone is equal, and so they should have all the same, you know, mm-hmm. you know, access and ability to share their mind and speak their views and such as someone who's been doing the job for a much longer period of time than they have. And so the problem there is that, you know, as we all know, especially in the workplace, everyone is not equal. There is an expectation that, you know, that certain people have to pay their dues, and usually that is the people who are newest and who are just starting out, mm-hmm. and that there are people who have been doing their jobs for a very long time who sometimes may not have all the answers and may not be open to change, but because of their experience, they are put at a higher level and, you know, are at the top of the ladder. And so I do think that, again, that mindset of we're all equal, which, again, I think goes back to the just everyone gets a trophy upbringing, mm-hmm. Can be a very limiting you know, principle for millennials and can be where a lot of the struggle and sort of misunderstanding of millennials as well as the misunderstanding of other generation lies as well. I think the other mindset I would add is also really around the, you know, how millennials communicate and the level of transparency that they've grown accustomed to. Again, I think, you know, for millennials, the mindset is that, you know, communication should be quick, it should be easy. You don't necessarily have to think too much about it. You can just send someone over a text, instant message, something like that. And I think that can be, you know, that again, that mindset can be limiting, especially as you transition, you know, into work and into just being, you know, a young adult, because sometimes we need to be more thoughtful with our approaches, especially, again, at work and in professional capacities. I mean, sometimes you need to think through, you know, what you say, how you say it, who you're saying it to. So, you know, those are, I would say, two that really rise to the top when I think about the mindset that millennials have that sometimes can be, you know, a limiting principle, especially professionally. But again, I think that, you know, some of the negative sort of words that are often used to describe millennials, those aren't words that they would use to describe themselves, but there are behaviors that sometimes are still tied to those words that make it important for them to break out of that brand and to really show that they are not going to live up to these negative descriptions.
Well, that's good. You know, I couldn't help smiling when you were talking because I just this morning, I was watching a video on a Facebook where Michelle Obama was talking about communication and how you have you shouldn't just say what you think and you shouldn't be transparent mm-hmm. about, you know, you've got, she was talking about, you know, Donald Trump, obviously. He's got the mindset of a millennial because, yeah. He just communicates. You know, he just, you know, is very transparent and communicates everything that he thinks. And she's saying that, you know, you shouldn't, you know, especially when you're higher up, then you should have some, you know, decorum, you know, think before you speak. So that's really funny. I was just smiling to myself as you were talking about that. But,
well, that's exactly right. I mean, and I think, again, because millennials have grown up in this sort of one-minute mindset where we can, you know, everything can be accessed, can be said, can be done in really 1 minute, when you sort of transition into a place where they say, no, you know, think through first, or like, well, why do I need to think through it? I already think.
You just say
so,
it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that is definitely the millennial generation. You know, somebody sends you a text and you respond immediately, even when you're driving. You know, nobody
right, yeah.
is thinking, you know. And
right.
my father had told me once, because I'm like this person, I always got to respond myself. And my father said to me, hey, wait, sleep on it the night, and, you know, I'll respond the next day. And that's the generation for, you know, the older people, the baby boomers. They know that kind of thing. You know, think about it first. So this is good wisdom. And that is absolutely a trait of the millennials. You know, nobody thinks about anything. And I like the fact that you said that they want access. They think that, they come in to a job and they don't care that somebody's been there 30 years, that they feel that, hey, you know, they're entitled to the same access. But, you know, on the flip side of that, again, as you were talking about, you know, everyone gets a trophy and everyone is equal, I'm seeing that in relationships. And I guess at some point in our I don't know if you touch on this in your book at all, but, you know, how millennials, deal with relationships. And, you know, it's obvious where there's so much interracial marriages and, you know, inter-whatever because, you know, they feel everyone is equal. They don't have a hierarchy, which is also a very good thing, you know, so I like that. Everything has got a good and bad to it, so, and that's very true. Yeah, right. So, awesome. All right. Well, the next question I have is, how do you feel that these, you know, the limiting mindsets erode their self-confidence? You know, when you were talking about everyone gets a trophy and you know, everyone is equal, I'm thinking somebody that has a lot of confidence because they're feeling that they're equal to everyone else. But are there some, limiting beliefs that actually erode their self-confidence?
Sure. I mean, I think, honestly, the everyone gets a trophy, I think that can have definitely have a negative impact on your self-confidence. So, for example, if I have been raised in a way where, I believe that I'm entitled to just to everything that everybody else has, when I first am faced with rejection, that certainly will impact your self-confidence.
Okay.
So, I think certainly even though you may, you know, believe that you are equal, when you first get that, you know, sort of awakening that there's someone that is better. Yeah. And, you know, that starts to happen sometimes, I think, in our early 20s, especially when you're in college and such. But definitely once you enter into the workplace, I think that's when, you know, you really see that there are going to be people who will quickly rise to the top, and there are going to be people who, you know, who stay at the bottom. And that's why it's important to make sure you're doing everything you can to make yourself stand out in a positive way from your peers. And I do believe that, you know, that's where self-confidence is really important, because if you don't have that confidence, even when, you know, you start to become more competitive with others, that's when, you know, the lack of self-confidence can start to take over. I also think, again, going back to technology, you know, that definitely impacts self-confidence and that just the reliance on technology because of social media, to be honest with you. We live in a world now where there's so much competition on social media to, you know, live your best life, you know. And so
hey, that's my tagline.
Well, it's a great, it actually is mine too, and I say it all the time
that's
myself.
Awesome.
But, you know, but I think in some ways some people, you know, are trying to compete with, you know, with their peers, with others, and that impacts their confidence because everyone thinks that someone else is doing better than they are because you're not seeing all of the behind the scenes action or activity or hard work or tears and, you know, that might be happening as well. And so, you know, I think these are things that honestly millennials are faced with that previous generations did not have to deal with it.
True. True.
You know, I talk about a lot that millennials are the first generation where they honestly are living two lives. I mean, they have their real, like, in real life, and then they have this social media life that they have to deal with as well. And I know a lot of times non-millennials don't take that seriously. They'll say, well, that's just silly that, you know, someone is so concerned with social media that they would, that would impact their self-confidence or how they feel about themselves. But that's real life.
It
and
is
I
true.
Think we have to acknowledge that, and we have to, you know, help millennials, you know, work through those types of those issues, and see how we can, you know, let them know that, you know, everything that sparkles is not gold. And so, and that can impact, you know, all aspects of their life, your professional life, your personal life, your relationships, your, you know, your family, as well. So the, I would say those are definitely things that, that impact self-confidence for the generation.
Yes, and that's very true. And, yeah, there's definitely a negative spin to that where, you know, well, she's not a millennial, but, you know, I have a – my husband's granddaughter took some sleeping pills the other day because somebody was saying something on Instagram about her, and she was like, what is she, 11?
Oh, my goodness.
So I know, exactly. Yeah, but and there are so many kids that commit suicide because what people write on, so it is very important to them, you know, and when they're confident, that is actually a big one, you know, reliance on social media and being liked is what basically this millennial generation is about. You know, I'm much older than 1980, but, you know, in my day, all you have is a couple of friends and you're good. Now you want thousands of them, right? You know, right, exactly. So, awesome. All right. All right, well, listen, we have an excellent start here. Let's take our first break, and we will be right back with more from Erica. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Mix Amore, a new dating app. It doesn't matter if you're Black, white, Hispanic, Latino, Asian, Indian, or beyond. Listen, some see things in black and white. Some see plenty of fish. To match is hard, so they say. Why not try Mix Amore? That's M-I-X-A-M-O-R-E. Download today for free. Ciao.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are speaking to Erica L. Pierce. She is the author of The Millennial Playbook, and we started off our topic today on how to unpack limiting mindsets that destroy the self-confidence of millennials. So in our first segment, we Erica introduced us to the tag Xennial, because she is an Xennial, and that is the year before or the years before the millennial. So Erica is, you know, made it her mission to bridge the generations. And in her new book, the Millennial Playbook, she's attempted to do that. So we've talked about in our first segment some of the ways that millennials are perceived and some of the ways that they perceive themselves and how their perception, whether internally or externally, affect their self-confidence and their growth. So as we come into the second segment, I want to talk to Erica on this topic that she talks a lot in her book, and I actually heard it somewhere else too. So, you know, you didn't create this one. It's just a beautiful word, and I love it. And that is adulting. So, you know, can you explain to our listeners what exactly is adulting and how does that relate to our topic on mindset today?
Sure. Well, you know, adulting is, I believe it's a millennial coined term. And you see it a lot on social media, usually as jokes and in jest. You know, someone will be doing the laundry and it's like hashtag adulting, you know.
Yeah, that's why you're supposed to learn. You shouldn't be under a rock. But, you know, I heard you talk about it first, and then it's like when you see a red car, you see lots of red cars, and now I've seen it, but I have not seen it before. You mentioned it, but, yeah, it's a real term. Okay.
It just means you are, you know, you're doing the duties and the responsibilities of a fully, fully developed adult. Again, millennials use it a lot, you know, to be funny. I do think that there is, the term does make a lot of sense. I mean, I think it can be used as both like a verb, an adjective. I mean, all different types of ways. But I do think for millennials specifically, the transition to adulting has been a little bit tougher than previous generations, and so that's why there's so much emphasis on adulting. I see with a lot of millennials that I coach, you know, there is a reluctance to sort of let go from, I don't want to say childhood, but at least those teenage, early 20 years that you didn't see in previous generations. I mean, millennials, they're not racing to get their licenses and drive even in their early 20s. I mean, a lot of them are still living, a lot of them are still living at home, as well, in terms of, they're not racing to get their own places the way that we saw with other generations, so it's just, and a lot of them, they are still reliant heavily on their parents and other, I would say adultier adults than we've seen before as well. So that's sort of where how the term has, I would say, where it's coined from and how it's evolved, but I think the millennials have they struggle a little bit more with adulting than others, so much so that they created a term for it.
All right. So, how do you cover adulting in your book? I know you talk about branding, and you talk about looking for a job. But what specifically? Like, if we were to go onto becoming, as you've described it, becoming a fully developed adult. What are some of the plays that you talk about in your book to help that facilitate
Well, what I try to do in the book is give very actionable advice. So, it'd be really easy to write a book and say, go out and be a successful adult and, make good decisions and, exercise, drink water, and keep a job and save money, right? I mean, those are, I would say, a lot of adulting goals, but the specifics are not there. So I really use every chapter to give very, clear, actionable advice on how you can do specific things. So, for example, when I talk about how to look for a job, I go through the specifics of, why it's important to have things like a LinkedIn profile, to how to set up, successful LinkedIn profile, how to make sure when you're applying for jobs that you're doing it in the right way, how to make sure that, you are giving, presenting your best self on interview day, what to do in terms of following up after an interview. Once you have the job, how to keep the job. And again, I go very specific. I say things like, on your first day, set three goals of the things that you want to accomplish at that job. And it's not just, I want to do well here. It's what are three things you want to do? Do you want to work on a certain project? Do you want to get promoted within, 6 months? Things like that. I go, again, very, very detailed. Make sure you get to work on time. Getting to work on time means being at your desk ready to work as soon as, you're supposed to be there. So it's very specific, in terms of those types of things. Networking, when you go to a networking event, make sure you meet three people. Stay 30 minutes after stay 30 more minutes after you're ready to leave. All of those types of things to make you a successful adult. So, I just wanted a book. That's why I called it a playbook, that was in a usable format, easy to read. I tell stories based upon my own adulting experiences and things like that.
That's actually pretty good. And like I said, you sent me a copy of it, and my feedback to you was that it was good information, because you're right. A lot of people, write books, but not everybody gives good information, right? So that was good information, and it was information that is valuable. And you're right. And, one of the other things you talk about is your brand. And I like what you say about, your brand. Is that you are the CEO of Me Incorporated and the chief marketing officer for the brand Call You. So, as a coach, that's what I teach people, that, you are the lid. You can only go as far as you, right? This company, this brand, whatever you do with it, social media, if you want to stick to social media, your brand is how people perceive you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to monitor that. You've got to be careful what you put into that image, right? And I think I heard someone say, I don't know if it's you or I saw someone, tell me if this is where I saw it in your book, because I read so many things. It says your brand is what people think, say about you when you're not in the room.
Yep.
Is that you or somewhere else?
Yes.
That was you.
Well, I was quoting, it's in the book, but I was quoting Jeff Bezos, who is the CEO of Amazon. But yes, that's exactly right. And I tell millennials that I coach that all the time, is that, it's not so much what you think you are, it's again how you're perceived. And, most of the decisions about your career will be made when you are not in the room. So it's important for your brand to be, your brand qualities to stand out, that when those people are having discussions on whether to promote you or, to give you a raise or even to fire you or demote you, that everyone is really, experiencing the same type of positive brand qualities from you. And that, again, that goes back to being the CEO of Me Inc. It's up to you to make sure that you're running your own brand and you are really developing those qualities about yourself that will set you apart in a very positive way and makes everyone have a very positive sort of brand experience from you, the same way that we expect out of, the brands that we use, like Target and Apple and, Chipotle.
Yeah. They consciously are Nike, they consciously.
Yep, exactly.
And the minute that you do something that doesn't affect their image, and I just finished reading the Tiger Woods book, biography, and that man was making, $90 million a year from sponsorship. And as soon as he was no longer the image that they wanted to be associated with, they dropped him immediately. Because, your brand is not only what people put on, but it's the people that you have being your spokesperson. It's very, very important. And, personally, I've been in the corporate world for, a long time, and I lost my job about 4 years ago from a merger. And during the merger, they gave me a coach for, placement, new placement and all that. I never did go back to work. I started my own business then. But one of the first things that they said to me when we were creating our resume is, what's your brand? What's your statement? It goes at the very top, because apparently, again, with new technology, nobody's reading your whole resume. They're looking for that branded statement there. And you've got to put in that little paragraph to the beginning of your resume who you are, and that's your brand. And I never heard of that before then, but that's the new thing again. Right? So your brand is...
Well, again, it's that one-minute mindset as well. So I think, what we see at the top, what's very quick, that's what's important. I always tell people on their LinkedIn profile, your headline is actually the most important part, because that's what comes up in the search. So don't always leave that to just be your job title. put the qualities on there that you want to be known for, as opposed to as a title, which is what which is the default, because your title may mean nothing about what you're doing.
Well, you're also right. I never even thought about that. But there's also a summary on LinkedIn as well, where it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody's checking out your profile, that's where they're going to go. They're not going to go down and look at all the 50 jobs that you've had. They're just going to look at that summary. Same thing, branded statement. So absolutely love that. All right. Now, last question before we go on our second break. How does self-confidence transform careers? I think this is an obvious one, but, let's target it specifically to millennials.
Well, in chapter 7, I believe, I call it you can no longer lean in, you really have to jump in. And I'm referring to Sheryl Sandberg's book, which was for women, but I say, really being your best advocate knows no gender. Everyone has to really jump in. And by that, I mean you have to be willing to be your own best advocate, your own cheerleader. And that really connects, directly to self-confidence. I believe as we adulting, we can't rely on, our parents or our professors or even our bosses or our supervisors to tell our story, to showcase what our skill sets that we're very good at and things like that. That's all now left up to us. So that's left up to millennials who are transitioning. And so I think that, having that self-confidence and knowing what you're good at and being great at it is critically important. And so believing in yourself and there's ways that you can, show off without it being arrogant. And I think that's important to find that fine line. But I think you cannot, if you really want to own being an adult as a millennial, you really have to also own being your own advocate and being your own, as I said, cheerleader. And again, you have to have that self-confidence to be able to speak about yourself in a way that will really, show that you are, you're top notch. And again, in a way that will make you stand out in a positive way from your other millennial peers.
Yeah, very true. And self-confidence is something a lot of millennials suffer with, even when it's obvious to people that are looking in that they have all the, the qualities and, the people are admiring them, but they suffer with self-confidence, and I'm not quite sure why. But I like the fact that you used the word advocacy, because I remember going to, I have teenage girls in high school, and, I was in for a meeting the other day, and one of the things the teacher said is that, my daughter can advocate for herself. So that's also a quality that they're looking for now. Yeah, are you going to be slumped in a corner and not be able to speak up and say what you want or what you require? Yeah, being able to advocate for yourself is a quality that employers and, and teachers are looking for. So that's pretty good.
Absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely.
Yes. All right, well, let's take our second break, and we'll be right back to wrap up our show today. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Mix Amore, a new dating app. It doesn't matter if you're Black, white, Hispanic, Latino, Asian, Indian, or beyond. Listen, some see things in black and white. Some see plenty of fish. To match is hard, so they say. Why not try Mix Amore? That's M-I-X-A-M-O-R-E. Download today for free. Ciao.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young. And today we have been speaking to author of The Millennial Playbook, Miss Erica Pierce, and we have had a really good discussion on some of the qualities of being a millennial. As Erica was saying, that her book, The Millennial Playbook, gives actionable advice on how to become an adult, or the term that's used, adulting. And so we're going to have, as we close off, I'm going to have Erica tell you how you can pick up a copy of her book and any parting words that she wants to leave with us on this particular topic regarding limited mindsets and self-confidence. Of course, we're going to be having Erica back for several more episodes, and we will dive in deeper to some of the other things and traits that millennials can use some help with in order to succeed and to live their best lives now. Not when they're 80, not when they're 50, not when they're 40, but right now, right?
Yes,
exactly. right now. So, yes, Erica, so go ahead and, leave some advice and how, you know, someone can get in touch with you and purchase your book.
Sure. So I would say in terms of parting advice that I would give is that I think that especially when it comes to things such as self-confidence and just being overwhelmed by all of the things that come with adulting, one of the things that I always suggest to some of the millennials that I coach is taking 1 hour a week to think and to strategize about what you want to happen in your life. If you think about it, 1 hour a week is not that much. But you'd be surprised if you just take that time, turn off your phone, turn off technology, and just think about, I like to put mine in a notebook and think about what are your goals for the week, it might be for the month, for the year, but just spend that time thinking. That can really help you, I believe, with your self-confidence because it'll give you an opportunity to start to put some order in what you want to do, which I think can, you know, helps us make better decisions and also helps us feel better about ourselves when we really feel like we are going down a more strategic path instead of just sort of living by the seat of our pants. So that would be my advice, is take time to think. And if it can't be an hour, make it half hour, make it 10 minutes. But spend some time on just strategizing on your life right now as a millennial. And that will really help you draw out your path going forward.
Awesome. Yes, I agree. You know, I meditate every morning. And I will tell you that it really affects everything. It just not only affects your mood, affects your vibration. You can't go anywhere if you don't have a goal. You know,
right.
One of my favorite sayings in something that millennial can understand, which is Alice in Wonderland, is that if you don't know where you're going, then it doesn't matter where you're going to end up, right? So
exactly.
You got to strategize and you have to have
goals. You got to have a plan.
Yeah, you got to have a plan.
I say that all the time. Like, without a plan, it stays a dream.
Exactly. Yeah, we can give them all kinds of, little cliches, but those cliches work and they're true.
Yes. So, and write those down, too. I always tell folks, like, that can all go in the same planning, strategizing book or wherever you're putting those things. Write down, because they do come in handy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, so then how can someone, first of all, get in touch with you if they want coaching, or how can someone get a copy of your book?
Sure. So first, you can go to my website, which is www.ericapierce.com, and that's spelled that's Erica with an A, R-I-K-A, Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E.com. You can definitely email me there. My email is hi@ericapierce.com, so very simple. And then there's info about the book there as well as my blog. The book is available on Amazon if you search by my name or search the title, The Millennial's Playbook to Adulting. You can find it there in both paperback form as well as the ebook on Kindle. And if you go to my website and you if you sign up, the audiobook is actually available for free. So that's also an easy way to listen, since I know millennials sometimes like to just put their, you know, their headset on and just listen. So that's available for free download from ericapierce.com.
That's awesome. You know, I never did put my book on audio form, but, you know, I've got my book as well on, I've got three books, but, you know, I never put any of them in audio form. So that was good that you've done that, because I know your book is quite new. How long has it been?
I believe in trying to reach people where they are. So that was
Of course, you're a millennial.
Try out audio, yeah.
I mean, sorry, you're not a millennial. You're an exennial. But...
Yes, an exennial.
But your market are millennials, and yes, you know that they like to listen to things, you know, so that is awesome. You know, I'm not sure how many of them actually read books, but, you know, they're all listening, so hopefully, you know, that's probably why the podcast generation is just booming. Everybody's got a podcast now, and that's probably the millennials are driving that market, too. They're driving all markets.
They are.
Yes. Yes, they're driving all markets. So that's awesome. All right. So, yes, you can reach Erica at Erica. Erica at ericaperce.com, and there you will be able to contact her by email. You can get a copy of her book there. I'm pretty sure you've got a link to your Amazon page from your website, right?
Yes, of course.
Right, yes, of course, exactly. You know, so so that's awesome. We will be back next week with another episode from the Millennial Playbook. So make sure that you you tune in, subscribe to the Transform Your Mind podcast. It will be very appreciated so that you can listen at your leisure. So let me remind you about the contest that I introduced today. So this week will be week one, that in exchange for your review on iTunes, you will have the opportunity to win a VIP annual subscription to Mixamore, the newest, hottest dating app, as seen on Shark Tank. This one-year free membership includes video instant messenger, hotlist, chat advantages, and no advertisements, just to name a few. I will pick one winner per week. I will read their reviews on the air with their name and the winning entry. To enter, post your review to the Mindset Transformation radio show with Coach Myrna, and then email me at info@myhelps.us, which is info@myhelps.us, with the subject line podcast review, and you will be entered into the drawing. This annual subscription is valued at $79. All right. So, Erica, it has been a blast. Thank you so much for agreeing to share your expertise on millennials with my audience. Thank you for, you know, for being on the show, and I look forward to talking with you next week. So, anything else that you want to say?
I really enjoyed our discussion today, so thank you for having me.
Yes, I enjoyed it too. So thanks again for tuning in. Remember to subscribe, and we will see you back here next week at the same time. So namaste. You know what time it is. It is time for you to step up and step out. The time is now to transform your mind so that you can live your best lives now.